This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
25 pro handicappers, $30,000 on the line. This is the Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here's your host, Matt Eumanns.
Final hour of the show here on a Football Friday night. This is where football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Right now, you score 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide, omahasteaks.com/VSiN for more information. And I can attest to that. I ordered Omaha Steaks for someone for Christmas and got the 16 free smash burgers as well. All right, Jason Jarvis joins us now from his home in Connecticut tonight. We go out to the Progressive guest line. Jarvis, the one-time leader in this contest, now in a tie for fourth. Jason, how you doing tonight? Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Appreciate it, Matt. Likewise. Same to you.
Two-time top 10 finisher in the Circa Million contest. I know you had plans on making that three times, but things have not really gone your way here the last couple of weeks, right?
No, it's been a bit of a disaster, if I'm being honest. You know, Thanksgiving week always gets me each and every year, but it's usually a one-week road bump, and I right the ship. And this year, it's just been one of those things where I can't get out of my own way. It's been a rough 3-4 weeks here for me. So looking to turn it around this weekend.
You had 11 best bet winners in a row. You lost your first one, 111 straight, and now you had a push last week. So you're 11-4-1 on the best bets. That's the tied for the top best bet record in the contest with Carl Sack. We're going to get to your best bet here in about 15 minutes. But, Jason, let's talk some NFL with you here and start with the Saturday card because you've got two plays. And I just talked with Tony Gordon about this Texans-Chargers game. You like Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers as two-point home favorites here, right?
I do. It's kind of interesting. I've been high on the Texans, you know, a lot of the year. But, you know, I go back to early in the season. I actually thought at that time the Chargers might have the best defense in the NFL. And then, you know, they lost some key players, including Khalil Mack. So while either the Texans or the Browns or the Broncos, they probably hold the claim now to best defense in the NFL. On paper, the Chargers defense is still the fourth best, and they're among the league leaders for fewest touchdowns allowed in the season. They've allowed 32, while the team they're playing, the Texans, are actually second in that category with 30 touchdowns allowed. So, you know, I like the Texans quite a bit, but to me, this game is really, it's a big game for both teams, but it really comes down to the quarterback play and the coaching. Two excellent defenses, but I think Justin Herbert is playing really good football. And, you know, there's been some mention of it, but I actually love when a player comes out and says that, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder and he had the disastrous playoff performance against Houston last year when he threw a career high 4 interceptions. A little bit refreshing to not, you know, hear him say, oh, it's just another game, and to hear him say, yeah, you know what, that did piss me off and I've been thinking about it for a while. So I think Harbaugh is a very good NFL coach. I think the Chargers are most likely going to win what's going to be a one-score game. I think this will be a low-scoring defensive battle, but I just think, again, between quarterback play and the coaching, the Chargers are on the right side of this one.
So we locked these numbers in for the contest at 10 a.m. Pacific on Fridays, and the number was Chargers 2. Right now it's 1, Chargers 1. There's 1.5 out there. Jason, does it ever bother you when you don't get the best of the number like this when it drops from 2-1? Why do you think the number might have dropped a point?
I actually saw 1.5 for the last couple of days, so I haven't seen a lot of movement. I do see 1, but it's minus 120, so I don't think there's a lot that to right. be concerned with there. I mean, this is going to be a pretty evenly bet game. I think it may have been Derek at the top of the show saying he'd be surprised if this moves by more than a point either way. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of balanced action on it, and it should be a really good game.
All right. How about the other Saturday game, Ravens and Packers? And we're going to have backup quarterbacks, it looks like. Malik Willis for the Packers and Tyler Huntley for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson's doubtful. Sure looks like he's not going to play, but you're going to play Ravens plus 4.
Yeah, you know, the Ravens ended the matchup having lost 3 of 4. The Packers also have lost 2 straight, but, you know, as you mentioned, it's a matchup of backup quarterbacks. You got Malik Willis versus Tyler Huntley. both of who looked, you know, pretty good filling in for their injured peers last week. So to me, you know, the Ravens defense has actually been playing better as of late. It was really their inability, though, to put any pressure on Drake May last week that did them in. You know, May was sitting back there with all sorts of time to throw downfield and pick apart the Ravens defense. And I just don't see that being as big a factor on Saturday. You know, Malik Willis doesn't throw the intermediate to deep ball as well as Drake May, needless to say. And the Ravens should be playing like a desperate team. Is they need a win coupled with the Steelers' loss to keep their playoff lives alive. Harbaugh, you know, he made a huge mistake last week as Derrick Henry didn't touch the ball the last 7-plus minutes of the game. That's after scoring his second touchdown and running right through the Patriots defense. So, you know, counter to that, the Packers actually didn't sack Caleb Williams once last week. I think the loss of Micah Parsons is going to be, you know, very impactful to that defense. I do think that this is similarly to the earlier game going to be kind of an ugly, low scoring game, but it wouldn't be a surprise to me if the Ravens came out on top of this one.
Jason Jarvis with us, fourth place in the Circumillion contest in 2021, 10th place in 2023. You can follow him on Twitter at JJarvNFLBets. Right now, 57-53-2 and tied for fourth, 11-4-1 on the best bets. So you've got Chargers minus two, Ravens plus four. How about Phillip Rivers and the Colts as 5.5-point home dogs to the Jaguars?
Yeah, you know, the Jags are my lone winner last week. I mentioned tough times. I had a couple of bad beats, but I had a kind of a rocking chair with the Jaguars. You know, but I'm taking the Colts this week, who've lost five straight and kind of hanging on to playoff hopes by a thread. I don't think they're really realistic, but, you know, they haven't been eliminated as of yet. Conversely, the Jags have won six straight and their offense has really been humming, but I think the Colts offense will be able to find some success against a familiar division foe here. It's funny, you know, Rivers has been dinking and dunking the ball. I'm not sure if that, you know, whether he's 44, 45 years old. I don't think he can throw his age right now downfield. I'm thinking 30 yards might be his max distance right now. But he's done a really nice job running the Colts offense. He hasn't made, you know, really any mistakes other than that pick six when the game was out of reach on Monday Night Football. You know, the Jaguars made a statement win last week, right? They go into Denver. They look dominant, win convincingly, but that may lead to a bit of a letdown this week. I actually made the line in this game between 3 and 3.5. So when I saw the line at 6.5, and I know it's dropped to 5.5, you know, I was happy to grab the extra points, division rival. I think this would be a pretty close game.
Yeah, I wanted to grab 7 with the Colts here, but it didn't go that way. It started to go the other way from 6.5 to 5.5. You were on the Colts and Phillip Rivers grabbing 5.5. I asked this last night to Will Hill, and put this question up to Frank Carulli. Let me see what you think. Is it absurd to think that Phillip Rivers could be the Colts' best option at quarterback next season?
I think so.
Right.
I mean, you know, you watch him and he's only a few years younger than me, but I think I've got more ability to run a 40 quicker than he does. He's just, we talked about Joe Flacco on the show a couple of years ago, just being a scarecrow back there and just so immobile. I mean, Rivers is the same thing. He probably doesn't even throw the ball as well as Flacco does. He's done a good job coming in, you know, really filling in an emergency and being a good game manager, probably checking them out of plays that aren't going to go anywhere and putting them in a position to be successful. But no, I don't think he's a long-term option for the team.
All right. Who do you think would give the Colts the best chance to win next season if you go into it? Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones off the Achilles injury, or Phillip Rivers? Who would they have the best chance to win with of those three?
Well, that's a bit of a different question than what you just asked me, in the sense that you draft Richardson, you know, assuming Jones doesn't come back from the Achilles right off the bat, right?
Right.
You got to put Richardson in there. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's athletic. I think it'd be foolish to give up on him after just a couple of years that have been really injury prone. He's shown some promise. He's shown some ability. He's had a lot of turnover issues. And, you know, I think some of that's correctable, though, right? You know, you get these young quarterbacks that hold the ball too long, try to make too many plays, make the stupid pass or take the unnecessary hit and turn the ball over. But I think with proper coaching, you know, I wouldn't give up on Richardson just yet.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson and Phillip Rivers would be polar opposites at the quarterback position, that's for sure, when you compare the two. All right, how about the Eagles-Bills game in Buffalo? You're going to play Philly plus two.
I am. I think the Eagles, you know, they've righted the ship a little bit after their three-game losing streak. I watched them last week, and honestly, when the defense is healthy, they're one of the best in the NFL. The issue really has been more on, you know, the offensive side of the ball. But I just think that this is a great spot for the Eagles to really work Saquon, get the run game going, and gash Buffalo all night long. Opposite that, you got Josh Allen, who's playing with an injured foot. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what his mobility looks like. But these tend to be the games where, you know, the Eagles really rise up and say, you know, we're not done just yet. So I like the Eagles in the game. I think that they're going to win the game. Buffalo's got so many questions. You know, Josh Allen's probably the best quarterback in the NFL right now. But like I said, with him not being 100% healthy, you have a similar quarterback on the other side of the ball in Hurts, who I think is going to be able to, you know, make some plays both with his legs and his arms. And I just like the matchup for the Eagles in this game.
Four plays in from Jason Jarvis. Three of those are underdogs. You play mostly dogs. Was it a good Christmas day for you with all three dogs covering?
Well, it was and it wasn't. You know, I did have the Commanders at 8.5. I had the Vikings and I had the Chiefs, but as you know, in the contest, I had the Chiefs plus 6. So that was a real painful way to lose that play at the end of that game.
No question about that. We'll talk about that quickly and get to your best bet, which is going to be a dog in the NFL. Quick break here. More with Jason Jarvis. We'll take a look at the Chris Felica card. You're going to see the 7 best bets from the Bear when we come back on the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Is the Circa Friday Football Invitational presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check out the playoff appetizer sampler. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of the Circa Friday Football Invitational. With Omaha Steaks playoff appetizer sampler, you get fully cooked chicken wings, jumbo shrimp, gourmet crab cakes, filet mignon, cheese steak flatbreads, Italian-style beef meatballs, and premium crab dip, everything you need for a winning watch party, and you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Again, omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Not too late to get in your holiday gifts. All right, Jason Jarvis rejoins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Jarvis Pro Gambler, we'll call him, out of Connecticut. You're not just a sports bettor, right? You're a pro gambler. Sometimes you kill the casino in craps, right?
And sometimes I get killed by the casino. So I'm not sure pro's the right word. How about action junkie? How's that?
I think that probably is accurate. Hey, let's take a look at the card for the Bear, Chris Felica. And again, he's your former colleague at ESPN way back in the day. Now the Bear with Fox Sports, the 2022 Friday Football Invitational champ, the inaugural season. The Bear's got the green jacket in the closet. He's probably not wearing it on the cruise ship this week. The Bear, the fourth place finisher in this contest a year ago, and right now in third at 60-49-3, 7-9 on the best bets. He had been the top best bet handicapper in this contest the first 3 years, stumbled a little bit in that area this year. Here we go for the Bear. Here's his card, and it's you would think it's going to be really heavy with college football, but that's not necessarily the case. He's got 4 college plays and 3 from the NFL. BYU minus 4 against Georgia Tech, Oregon minus 2 against Texas Tech, and Texas a 7.5-point favorite against Michigan, his first 3 college plays. His best bet, Miami Hurricanes, 9.5-point dogs to Ohio State. I call that the Bear Bowl. I don't know anybody who loves the Buckeyes more than the Bear, but he's a Miami graduate. He's taking the points with the Hurricanes against the Buckeyes. That's going to be an emotional game for the Bear. All right, on the NFL side, the Bear is with you on Eagles plus 2, Falcons plus 8, and Jets 13.5-point dogs to the Patriots. Jason Jarvis, can you react or review the Chris Felica card for this week?
I'm not looking at it, so I'll go off what I just heard. But the Falcons almost made my card. They will most likely be a million selection, as they're 8.5 in the million. So I like that side. Obviously, I think he's got the right read on the Eagles. I took them as well. The other NFL play was which one?
All right, he's got the Eagles, he's got the Falcons, he's got the Jets, 13.5-point dogs to the Pats.
Yeah, I mean, with all the injury news for the Patriots, that Jets team is just atrocious. So, you know, he can have fun with that one. It'll be interesting to see who comes out on top. And you know, I'm probably the best 500 college football handicapper in America. So I'm certainly not going to critique Chris's college football plays. We'll see how they map out. But I am opposite him one of those.
Bears 7-7 over the last 2 weeks. Jarvis, you're off a 1-5-1 week. I said you were the leader in this contest, so you're trying to get back on track here. And you gave yourself a lot of credit saying you could beat Phillip Rivers in a foot race. Our buddy Bobby Buckets Brubeck out of Austin, Texas, he's been in the Circuit College Hoops Challenge the last couple of years. Also a past competitor in the Friday Football Invitational. He says Circus Sports opens Rivers a -120 favorite against Jarvis in a 40-yard dash. The over-under is 5.5 seconds. There you go.
Well, there must be some sharp action because it's actually down to even money right now.
All right, the top three contestants, Chris Massaro, Scott Pritchard, Chris Felica, all on Miami as a 9.5-point dog to Ohio State. Jarvis, you're on the other side. You've got the Buckeyes laying 9.5, and you're also going to play this under 42.5, so it's not a correlated parlay with a favorite in the under. Why did you play the game that way?
I have heard absolutely nothing but Miami love all week. And, you know, I had a Miami future to win it all, and I think 12-1 from earlier in the year. I've watched Miami a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think that ticket had much of a chance watching the last few weeks. But I do think they have a really solid defense. If you watch them last week, they played really well against A&M, held them to 3 points, I think the final was, or 7 points, whatever it was. It was certainly an impressive defensive performance. And now you have, you know, you're going against an Ohio State team that's got the best defense in the country. I think the most points Ohio State's allowed all year was either 16 or 18 points to Illinois in a game that they won 34 to either 16 or 18. Other than that, you know, nobody's scoring more than 13 points, including the one loss they had this year, which was to Indiana, and that was a 13-10. So I just think that this is really going to be a rock fight where both teams feel each other out earlier in the game. You know, you've got Julian Sain versus Carson Beck, who's been very turnover prone. And I just think that might be the difference in the game. You know, Vegas knows what they're doing, right? They usually set a line. They want to get pretty balanced action both ways. But sometimes when you see a line that smells a little bit fishy, you just got to take the side, even if it is a favorite. Now, I'm usually looking for those type of lines where I think the dog's the advantageous spot. But here, I just think that you're going to see a lot of public money on Miami. I feel like it's going to be a very public dog. And I'm going to go opposite it with Ohio State. And for the reasons I said, I just think with these defenses, you know, we're going to see a 23-10, 27-10 Ohio State win, where I just think that they are the far dominant team, although they may not have shown it. You know, last year they didn't necessarily show it either until the playoffs, and man, they look like an absolute juggernaut. So we'll see if they can repeat that performance.
Yeah, a year ago the Buckeyes did not even make the Big Ten championship game, then steamrolled through the playoffs with 4 straight wins by double digits, capped off by a victory over Notre Dame in the championship game. Frank Carulli was in here tonight, and he said he was very close to using the under as a play. Miami, Ohio State, under 42.5 is on your card. Jarvis, I'd say a pretty big game for you here, because if you win it, Massaro, Pritchard, and Felica, who are ahead of you in the standings, will lose it. So it could be a somewhat of a pivotal game this week in the contest.
I think it's fair to say this either puts me right back into contention or it's a good night Irene after that one.
Well, let's talk about your best bet, because you're going to need to win this one too. And best bets presented by Omaha Steaks. And it's worth 1.5 if you have a best bet winner. A week ago, Jarvis, you had a push on your best bet. Use Giants +3. So You got to push on the best bet. This week, you're going to use another three-point home dog, Browns, plus three against the Steelers.
Yeah, I got to vent for a second about last week, because how you can't beat Max Brosmer in the second half of a game when you know McCarthy gets sidelined with the injury, that just tells me that the Giants have no interest in winning another game this year. And I almost played the Raiders this week because of it, but I ended up staying away. Matt, this is probably my biggest bet of the year, other than when I had the Chiefs earlier in the year as a best bet over the Raiders in the game. They won 31-0. You know, I bet this game immediately on Monday when the line was 4.5. I think it's a great spot for Cleveland. After I bet that, they actually announced a 2-game suspension of Metcalf, which I had a feeling he'd be suspended. And I don't know if he's worth a point, you know, plus, but the line did drop to 3.5. And then it went down to 3 where it currently sits. But to me, this is just going to be a game where this is the Browns Super Bowl heated rivalry. The Browns defense should give Pittsburgh a really tough time, especially with no deep threat now, right? You know, Metcalf had 95 yards and a touchdown in their first meeting, but I just don't know how Rodgers is going to do anything more than kind of the dink and dunk, because they really don't have a deep threat. The Browns held Josh Allen to just 130 yards passing last week and limited them to 23 points. So I realize there's no Judkins. That's obviously going to hurt the Browns, but Sanders has found a little bit of a comfort blanket in the rookie tight end, Harold Fannin, who's got 5 touchdowns this year. What's interesting about this game is the line could actually look completely different should the Ravens lose tomorrow, as that would wrap up the division for the Steelers, and may result in them actually resting some key starters. You know, so opposite that, though, if you're I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but if you are, should the Ravens win and the Steelers lose this weekend, that also sets up a winner-take-all matchup in Week 18, and we know how the NFL loves some drama. So regardless of the Ravens' outcome, I really just think Cleveland wins this game outright. I love them this weekend, and it's my best bet.
Are you sure you're not a conspiracy theorist? I hear a lot of conspiracy theories from you.
No, you do not. No, you don't. you hear me bitching and whining when I'm losing a game, but it's not conspiracy related.
All right, the Browns have won 5 of the last 6 home games against the Steelers, including 3 in a row, and I assume when you bet this, what'd you get, Browns plus 4.5?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Myles Garrett with 22 sacks, and I'm sure Aaron Rodgers wants no part of him. Be interesting to see how this might change if the Ravens lose to the Packers. But you've got the Ravens on your card. There it goes. There you see the Jason Jarvis card. Chargers minus 2, Ravens plus 4, Colts plus 5.5, Eagles plus 2. Best bet is Browns 3-point dogs to the Steelers, and 2 plays on the Ohio State-Miami game. Buckeyes laying 9.5 and under the total of 42.5. Jason Jarvis, appreciate your time tonight, man. Great job. Good luck. And we'll see you out in Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we need to turn things around, Matt. Look forward to seeing you, and happy New Year to you, buddy.
All right, quick break, and we come back. You're going to get plays from Kenny White, Scott Pritchard, Matt St. Marie, Carl Sack, and a lot more. Stay tuned here to the Friday Football Invitation.
This is the Circa Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We will get to plays here from the team of Carl Sack and Edwin Meyer, and also plays from Matt St. Marie coming up here. We're going to hear from Matt Rule. We're going to hear from Dan Lanning, the Oregon coach, as well. In this segment, I'm going to review my NFL season win total bets here coming up. You know, Matt Rule has been at Nebraska now for 3 years, and he went 5-7, 7-6, and this year 7-5. And the Cornhuskers are going to play in the Las Vegas Bowl next week against Utah. Kyle Whittingham on the way out to Michigan, and Utah a 14-point favorite, and that game is 15.5 when we locked in the numbers for the contest today. Now down to Utah as a 14-point favorite. That game on New Year's Eve in Vegas, and Nebraska is a big dog for a lot of reasons, one being the quarterback's not going to be there. Anyway, let's take a look at the Carl Sack card for this week. And again, we're at the Elite Eight stage here of the Friday Football Invitational. Carl Sack and Edwin Meyer, co-owners of Killer Sports. Meyer was a Circa Survivor co-champ in 2020. He's a college professor in Ohio. And these guys at killersports.com made the Elite Eight, started off very poorly, but got hot. And right now, share the top best bet record with Jason Jarvis in the contest at 11-4-1. Overall record for Carl Sack here, 56-54-2, 62.5 points. And in eighth place, making the cut. It helped that Frank Betty had the Chiefs plus 6 last night, and Chris Jones jumped off sides when the Broncos were going to kick a field goal. And instead, Broncos get a first down and a touchdown and win that game by 7. Betty had a couple of tough beats on Oregon minus 21, Chiefs plus 6. Carl Sack and Edwin Meyer make the cut. Again, follow Carl Sack on Twitter at KillerSportsCom. And here's his card for this week. He's got Georgia, 6.5-point favorite against Ole Miss. Miami, Ohio State, under 42.5. Jason Jarvis just had that same play. How about in the college side? Indiana, a 6.5-point favorite against Nebraska in the Rose Bowl. In the NFL, Ravens, Packers, under 40. Seahawks, minus 7. Sunday night, 49ers, 3-point favorites against the Bears. Tony Gordon was on tonight, and he says he loves the 49ers against the Bears on Sunday night. Best bet for the Cardinals, or for the Carl Sack team, Cardinals plus 7.5 at Cincinnati. So there you go. That's Carl Sack's card for this week. And speaking of Matt Rhule and Kyle Whittingham and what's going to go on with the Nebraska-Utah game next week, Matt Rhule probably has a lot more pressure on him because of what Kurt Cignetti has done at Indiana in his first 2 years. Fans want quick turnarounds in this era of college football. They don't want to hear the coach preaching about patience, and that's what Matt Rhule is going to be preaching. We're going to hear from him in a moment. Here's the card for Matt St. Marie, and he agrees with Carl Sack on the Indiana game. Matty Saint, 2023 Circumillion champ. Again, you can follow him at Matty Saint from Minneapolis. And I know he was surprised yesterday when the Vikings beat the Lions. He had the Lions on his card last week. Matt St. Marie is on Indiana minus 6.5 against Alabama. All NFL the rest of the way. Eagles plus 2 at Buffalo. Bears plus 3 at San Francisco. Bengals laying 7.5 to the Cardinals. Two totals on Saturday. Texans Chargers under 39.5. And Ravens Packers under the total of 40. Best bet for Matt St. Marie, Buccaneers minus 6 at Miami. And again, the Bucs, how about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? On a 7-game ATS losing skid, and that's very surprising. Baker Mayfield's play has definitely nosedived during that 7-game ATS skid. Matt St. Marie's best bet, though, is on the Bucs minus 6, and Matty St. Right now it's 58-53-1. 9-7 on the best bets. That gives him 63 points, a half point better than the Carl Sack team. All right, speaking of Matt Rhule, who's going to be in Vegas next week for the Las Vegas Bowl, not getting things turned around quickly. In 3 years at Nebraska, he is 19-18, including 10-17 in Big Ten play. It just lost his quarterback, Dylan Riola. Rhule was asked about rebuilding at Nebraska, getting things turned around, and not doing it as quickly as Kurt Cignetti is at Indiana.
We're building. The program was dead for 10 years. We went to back-to-back bowl games. I don't know why everyone, why like Nebraskans, like we are moving forward. It's just not as fast as Indiana did it. And people ask me that all the time. I'm frustrated. But we did it a lot faster than some of the other teams that got hired at the same time did it. So we are just continuing to build. Coach Belichick told me years ago, it'll take you 3 years to get the right staff. You know, so we're just every year we're evolving, we're evolving, we're evolving, we're getting better, we're getting better, we're getting better. But program reset, I mean, I don't know why anyone would say that. Just maybe it makes people click on more things. I don't know, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, we just, you know, we just won 7 games. Should it have been 9? Yes, it should have been 9. So I'm tweaking, just tweaking, right? Tweaking.
That's Matt Rhule on where his Nebraska program stands after 3 seasons, again, 19-18, coming to the Vegas Bowl. Last year, it had been a long bowl drought for the Cornhuskers. They won the Pinstripe Bowl a year ago. I'm not going to say Rhule's doing a poor job in Nebraska. It's been a mediocre job. He's got to do better, and it's pretty obvious he knows that. But, man, he's locked into a big contract extension when it looked like he might leave for Penn State and the Cornhuskers. Certainly underachieved at the end of the season. Now they're 14-point dogs to Utah in the Las Vegas Bowl. I also want to talk about Dan Lanning here a little bit because when Brent Musburger was on the show with me last Friday, we talked about a couple of things. One, Kurt Cignetti's coaching job at Indiana. And I asked Brent if he's ever seen a better coaching job in college football in all the years he's covered it. And he immediately said no. The best he's ever seen is what Kurt Cignetti has done at Indiana the past 2 years. And I would have to agree with that. It's incredible when you think about the doormat program in the Big Ten. Kurt Cignetti walks in the door, and in back-to-back years, he wins 23 regular season games. It's insane what he's done, and he produced a Heisman winner as well. Now, Dan Lanning took a defeat from Kurt Cignetti this year. Indiana went out to Oregon and beat the Ducks. That was their only loss. Ducks lost that game on their home field. At some point, they might get a chance to avenge that. But I asked Brent last week about the ideal college football playoff format, which I think is good. It would be 16 teams, no byes, seeded 1 through 16. And if you have a group of five team, that team's going to be seeded 16. It's going to play a true road game at the number one seed. I think that's the logical, most sensible way to do the college football playoff. I don't expect it to happen right away because the college football change and progress come very slowly, almost at a glacial pace, and it makes too much sense to go to 16 teams and seed it that way with no buys in the first round. Dan Lanning, the Oregon coach, talked about how he feels like the college football playoff bracket should be set up.
I don't know if there's a side advantage. I think it's just more of an indicator that the way we do playoffs in college football is messed up, right? I mean, in my opinion, we're really excited to be going to the Orange Bowl, but this game should be played at Texas Tech, right? They're the higher seeded team. We should play a week, like right after the last game. The next playoff game should be the next Saturday. The next playoff game should be the next Saturday. The next playoff game should be the next Saturday, and a championship game. But we're trying to fit a lot of things in different sequence. But in my opinion, this game should be played at Tech. There should be a home field advantage for them.
All right, and that's also a segue to Chris Massaro, our contest leader. His best bet in the contest this week, Texas Tech plus 2 against Oregon. The Bear on the opposite side, Chris Felica on Oregon minus 2. I talked about my college football season win total plays. The bets that were put out there on VSIN before the season, 4 winners, 4 losers. Here's a look at my NFL season win totals. And right now we have 7 winners in with 2 weeks to go. Broncos over 9.5 at 12-3. Browns under 5.5 at 3-12. Chiefs under 11.5, 6-9. Jets under 6.5, 3-12. Lions under 10.5 at 8-8. Steelers over 8.5 at 9-6, and Titans under 6.5 at 3-12. So 7 solid winners right there in the NFL win totals. I do have some losers too. You don't sweep the losers under the rug. We got to mention the losers as well. And I was wrong about the Bears. I didn't think Ben Johnson could get it turned around this quickly. I had Bears under 8.5. They are 11-4. I had the Colts under 7.5. They got off to a 7-1 start, but they are over at 8-6. That's a loser. And I actually thought that I'd go contrarian here and say the Giants, despite their tough schedule, had more talent than people thought. They played the Giants over 5.5, and that's a dead loser at 2-13. So 7 winners, 3 losers, and 2 pending. This is going to be tricky here. Saints under 5.5. And how about the Saints? I don't know who saw this coming, but this team suddenly got hot with Tyler Shuck, the rookie at quarterback. Saints have won 3 in a row, and they're 5-2 ATS with Shuck. So I played Saints under 5.5. They're at 5-10. Played the Vikings over 8.5. And with a win over the Lions yesterday, they are at 8-8. So I need the Vikings to win the finale to get over. So 7-3 with 2 pending on the NFL season win total plays. All right, we come back. We're going to wrap up the show tonight. Scott Pritchard, Las Vegas pro bettor in second in this contest. You're going to see his plays. And Kenny White, longtime Las Vegas, Las Vegas pro bettor and odds maker. Most people know Kenny White as an odds maker. Now he's a professional bettor. You're going to get plays from Scott Pritchard, Kenny White, and you're going to hear from Max Crosby about the Raiders and whether they are tanking the game against the Giants on Sunday. VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is the Circa Friday Football Invitational presented by Omaha Steaks on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The grill's hot, the bets are sizzling. It's time for High Stakes.
All right, we call this High Stakes, presented by Omaha Steaks, because the best bet winners are worth 1.5 points. And obviously it makes a difference when you see how tight it is to make the cut in this contest and how tight it's going to be in the standings here in the top eight the rest of the way. Again, the contest plays, and the way this contest is set up now, 7 plays per week for the first 18 weeks. So you got 2 more weeks here of 7 plays from each contestant. But we expanded the contest this year to 3 plays per week for week 19 and week 20. So after the NFL regular season, we will keep this contest going 2 more weeks, 3 plays each week. So 20 plays to go from here, and these best bets are going to count for a little bit more. So here we go. High stakes best bets for this week. Frank Carulli, Georgia -6.5. Chris Felica, Miami Hurricanes +9.5. Jason Jarvis, Browns +3. Chris Massaro, Texas Tech +2. Carl Sack, Cardinals +7.5. Scott Pritchard, Clemson -2.5. Matt St. Marie, Buccaneers -6. And Kenny White, North Texas, San Diego State over 52.5. There you go, the Omaha Stakes, High Stakes Best Bets. If you miss any of the picks from tonight's Invitational, don't worry. Every single one gets emailed straight to VSIN Pro subscribers. Sign up now for $9.99 for your first 30 days, or save 50% with an annual subscription. VSIN.com/subscribe today. Again, VSIN.com/subscribe. Don't forget about the party on Fremont Street next week as well. Let's talk about Max Crosby and the Raiders here for a minute. This, I think, a fascinating game to handicap. Giants at Raiders in Vegas on Sunday afternoon. And number right now at Circus Sports, as we speak, Giants up to 2.5-point favorites. This number was a 1 earlier today, but the Giants have now taken money, and they're up to 2.5, total of 41.5. The perception here is that the Raiders are tanking. They're sitting Brock Bowers, star tight end, best offensive player by far, best player on the team. Max Crosby, I would say the second-best player on the team, and the most, definitely the most impactful defensive player, even though he hasn't put up the type of numbers this year that he has in the past. Crosby's been banged up with a knee injury most of this season. Reports came out today that the Raiders told Crosby they wanted to sit him. They are going to sit him, and he was upset, and they told Pete Carroll he wanted to leave the team's practice facility, and he left. Carroll said, go ahead and go. Here's Max Crosby this week talking about whether the Raiders should tank to get the top pick in the draft.
Hey, when you hear him talk about the number one pick being on the line?
Yeah, I don't give a about the trade. Like, to be honest, I don't play for that. That's not my job. My job is to be the best defensive end in the world, and that's what I focus on every day, and being a great leader, and being an influence, and being that guy on a consistent basis for my team. So, yeah, that's their job. That's, the front office, the coaches, that they do that, but that's got nothing to do with me. I've learned that lesson in the past. I'm not trying to you can't control everything. And that's not my job description. My job is to be the best in the world at what I do. And that's breaking the game.
All right. The players are never going to say they want to tank. They want to lose. You're never going to hear that message out there. And that's no surprise to hear Max Crosby say that, or to hear that he's upset by getting shut down, that he's not going to play against the Giants or in the final game against the Chiefs. Chris Massaro, the contest leader, played the Raiders +1 in the contest, and we locked in that number this morning. Now it's Giants 2.5. You're not getting the best of it there. Here was Jonathan Von Tobel's reaction on VSiN after the news of Bowers and Crosby sitting out for the Raiders.
No! Have a choice.
Why? What now? What
breaking
news just
news
dropped?
From 1 minute ago, the Raiders are shutting down Max Crosby because of a knee injury.
Already
he's
shut down
battling.
Brock Bowers.
Now, this is where you know this is so good, dude. This is so good. This is the tank off. This is the equivalent of the Cold War between the United States and Russia. You know, nothing was really happening. They were just kind of ramping up their arms. Same thing here. The Giants have put, I think yesterday they put about 6 guys on injured reserve. We've seen the Raiders do the same thing now. This is a tank off. This is great.
Giants-Raiders matchup, kind of like the mustache matchup between Warren Sharp and JVT. Who's got the better stash? Stormy Bonantoni right there with her reaction to that as well on their show this afternoon on VSiN. That's a fascinating game to handicap. It's going to be interesting to see the way it plays out Sunday afternoon. I mentioned earlier, Sean McCollum of VSiN is a lifelong Raiders fan. He was offered free tickets to the game on Sunday, and he turned them down. So not in high demand. Not many people want to go out and watch Giants and Raiders play for the number one draft pick when you got better games to watch Sunday afternoon. Better games like the Eagles and Bills, for example. All right, let's take a look at the Kenny White card for this week. And Kenny White has no NFL on his card. Kenny and Alex White, both mainly college football handicappers. But Kenny, professional bettor, longtime odds maker in Las Vegas, and a former two-time champ of the Stardust Invitational. Kenny, 58-51-3. And right now in fourth place in that tie with Jason Jarvis and Frank Carulli. Kenny is 8-7-1 on his best bets. Actually, Kenny White's been 3-4 3 weeks in a row, but he does have two best bet winners in that stretch. So follow him at KWhiteyVegas. And I mentioned his best bet for this week is North Texas San Diego State over the total of 52.5. Also on Kenny's card, Tennessee, a 2.5-point favorite against Illinois. Ole Miss, a 6.5-point dog to Georgia. Appalachian State, a 7-point dog to Georgia Southern. And three more totals here for Kenny White. How about the Alamo Bowl? USC, TCU, over 55.5. A couple of high-profile offensive players not going to be in that game in San Antonio. Also for Kenny here, UConn Army under the total of 42.5. And Penn State Clemson under the total of 47.5. All right, that's Kenny White's card for this week. How about Scott Pritchard, Las Vegas Pro Bettor? Right now in second place, 60-48-4, 65.5 points, and he is four behind Chris Massaro. Right now, the best bet for Scott Pritchard, Clemson, a 2.5-point favorite against Penn State in the Pinstripe Bowl early Saturday at Yankee Stadium. Best bet for Scott Pritchard, Clemson. Again, follow Scott at Pritchard Wins. Third place finisher in this contest 2 years ago. Elite Eight for the second straight year. Actually, third straight year in the Elite Eight for Scott Pritchard here. And 7-9 on his best bets. But currently sitting in second place, four back in Massaro. Also on Scott Pritchard's card, Cardinals plus 7.5 at Cincinnati. The rest of the way, he's going college football. USC, TCU, over 55.5. Connecticut Army, under 42.5. Miami of Ohio, Fresno State, under 41.5. Nebraska, a 15.5-point dog to Utah. I mentioned that number has dropped to 14 tonight. So Matt Rhule and the Huskers getting 14 now. Scott Pritchard getting 15 there. And a popular play in the contest, Chris Massaro, Scott Pritchard, Chris Felica, all on Miami as a 9.5-point dog to Ohio State. Jason Jarvis on the other side, he's going to lay it with the Buckeyes. All right, wrapping up the show, let's take a look at the standings here one more time. And I want to mention Jay Kucera and C. Walker, who are at the top of the Average Joe contest presented by Edge Boost. How about these records against the spread? Kucera, 69-42-1, 10-6 on the best bets. Walker, 69-41-2, 9-6-1 on the best bets. And you can see the top 10 there. Our buddy Dan Kuster, longtime VSiN follower, and a K-State Missouri guy in a tie for eighth. He's on a cruise with his mom right now, and he plans on being on the show next week if he has another winning week. We're going to get some of these Average Joe contestants on the show over the next couple of weeks. How about, I want to say CBN. 14-2 on the best bets. R. Clinton, 13-3 on the best bets. Some outstanding performances by handicappers in the Average Joe. Taking a look at the Friday Football Invitational standings. The leaderboard, the Elite Eight, Chris Massaro, 64-46-2. 9-6-1 on the best bets. Followed by Scott Pritchard, Chris Felica, Jason Jarvis, Frank Carulli, Kenny White, Matt St. Marie, and Carl Sack and Edwin Meyer. The three cuts a week ago, the team of Frank Betty and Anthony Curtis, Chris Piper, and Mike North. And the previous week, the two cuts were Alex White and Steve Fezzik. But appreciate all 25 handicappers competing. We are now down to the Elite Eight stage. And if you stay tuned to VSiN after tonight's show, you're going to hear red-hot handicapper Ryan Kramer on the Sports Gambling Podcast, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer at 10 p.m. Eastern. So stick around here. Tomorrow morning, start the day with Ben Stevens on the VSiN Tailgate Show at 9 a.m. Eastern. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas from VSiN. Have a winning weekend. This is the Sports Betting Network.